Good evening, and welcome to Quick News Briefing. I'm Arjiv, and joining me today is our esteemed reporter, Arohi, to break down the day's most pressing headlines. Before we dive into today's news from BBC News, NDTV News, US Top News and Analysis, and a range of other trusted sources, let's take a quick look back. On this day in history, March 22, 1993, Intel began shipping the first Pentium processor, a pivotal moment that dramatically advanced computing power and ushered in a new era of personal technology. Now, Arohi, let's turn our attention to some of the complex economic realities facing the U.S. today. A fascinating paradox has emerged regarding U.S. oil consumption. Despite being one of the world's largest oil exporters, the U.S. still imports the majority of the oil it consumes. What's behind this seemingly counterintuitive situation?
It's a question that often surprises many. The core reason lies in the type of crude oil produced domestically versus what U.S. refineries are designed to process. Much of the oil extracted in the U.S., especially from shale plays, is light, sweet crude. However, many U.S. refineries, particularly those along the Gulf Coast, were built decades ago to handle heavier, sour crude, which is more abundant in regions like the Middle East and Canada. Exporting our lighter crude and importing heavier crude allows refineries to operate optimally and produce a wider range of refined products, from gasoline to jet fuel, more efficiently. It's a matter of refining economics and infrastructure, not a simple lack of domestic supply.
So, it's about matching the right crude to the right refinery capabilities. That makes sense. Moving from economics to the domestic political landscape, we've seen some significant headlines on social and political divisions. Let's start with a look at comments from the White House and Capitol Hill.
Indeed, President Trump has recently reiterated his claim of being the least racist president. However, this assertion has prompted a renewed historical comparison by many historians and critics, drawing parallels between his term and that of Woodrow Wilson, particularly concerning issues of race and racial policies. Wilson's presidency, often viewed through a more critical modern lens, saw the resegregation of federal workplaces and a general rollback of civil rights advancements. This comparison highlights ongoing debates about racial rhetoric and policies in contemporary American politics. In a related vein, we've also seen increasing scrutiny over anti-Muslim comments made by Republican Congressman Andy Ogles of Tennessee. These remarks, both on Capitol Hill and in Nashville, have sparked significant division and are unfortunately seen by many as reflecting a growing tolerance for Islamophobia within certain political factions on the right. Critics argue such statements normalize prejudice and undermine efforts towards interfaith understanding and inclusivity.
A concerning trend for many. And staying with domestic news, there was a notable pro-Palestinian rally following the release of a Colombia protester. What are the details there?
That's right. Lacan Cordia, who had been released after a year in ICE detention, spoke alongside city officials in Paterson, New Jersey. Following her remarks, she led a crowd in chants of "Globalize the Intifada," a phrase that, for many, signifies a call to resistance and solidarity with the Palestinian cause. The rally underscored continued activism and strong sentiments surrounding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict on the domestic front, reflecting deeply held beliefs among various communities.
Clearly, these are issues that continue to resonate strongly across the country. Now, we shift our focus to a critical international development, the escalating tensions surrounding the Iran war and its far-reaching global implications. What's the latest on this front?
The situation remains incredibly volatile, now in its fourth week. President Trump has been sending mixed messages regarding the war with Iran, adding to the uncertainty. Simultaneously, Congress has frozen Department of Homeland Security funding over his immigration enforcement policies, creating a complex domestic and international political situation. On the ground, Iran and the U.S.-Israel alliance continue to raise the stakes, particularly around the crucial Strait of Hormuz. Iran has even widened its warnings, now targeting buyers of U.S. Treasury bonds. The global economic impact is already severe. Asia's stock markets have tumbled significantly. We saw South Korea's Kospi and Japan's Nikkei both slide more than 5% on Monday as investors reacted to the escalating threats. The International Energy Agency chief has warned that this conflict could trigger the world's worst energy crisis in decades, primarily due to the Strait of Hormuz, a choke point for global oil shipments.
And how is this impacting specific economies and markets?
The effects are palpable worldwide. Martin Wolf, the chief economics commentator for the Financial Times, highlighted how the war is broadly impacting the global economy, with Asia being particularly vulnerable due to its reliance on oil imports. Closer to home, Mumbai's real estate sector is already feeling an indirect yet palpable impact, with construction costs rising due to spikes in crude oil, steel, and aluminum prices. Financial markets are certainly on edge. India's Sensex crashed 1,500 points, and the rupee hit a fresh low amid the uncertainty surrounding Hormuz. Analysts are closely watching for signs, with many corporate executives suggesting patience for a short-term oil price increase, but warning that their patience may wear thin within a matter of weeks, creating a sort of Strait of Hormuz deadline for policymakers. This week, the Iran war and rising oil prices will remain front and center for stock market watchers.
And we're also hearing about direct impact on individuals in the region?
Tragically, yes. An Indian national was reported injured in Abu Dhabi from falling missile debris. Authorities intercepted a ballistic missile, and the debris landed in the Al-Shawamak area, underscoring the very real and immediate danger the conflict poses to civilians in neighboring regions.
A truly sobering development in an already critical situation. Before we wrap up, let's briefly touch upon another factor influencing Indian markets, separate from the immediate war concerns. We're seeing foreign investors pulling out. Why is that?
This is an interesting trend unrelated to the Iran conflict. A key factor is the reallocation of global investment capital. Foreign investors are increasingly shifting their focus and funds towards markets that offer greater participation in the next major technology cycle, particularly artificial intelligence. There's a perception that some Indian markets may not be providing sufficient exposure to cutting-edge AI innovation, leading to a pullback as investors seek opportunities elsewhere. So, no AI, no FPI, is becoming a significant driver in these investment decisions.
A clear sign of how technological shifts can reshape global investment flows. Arohi, thank you for those comprehensive updates. Your insights truly clarify the complex issues shaping our world today. And before we go, here's a fascinating fact for you. Did you know that the first computer mouse, invented by Douglas Engelbart in 1964, was actually made of wood? A simple, yet revolutionary start to a device we now take for granted. That's all for today's quick news briefing. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you join us again next time for more of the day's top stories. Good evening.